Welcome to Share the Bytes, Episode 9, Free the Node.
Well, we are back, as you probably can hear, to Cafe La Scala, another DV Lug meeting, talking about FreeNode. And I have in front of me, I should start off, I'm Ian Lin, and I have in front of me...
Grant Bowman.
And Bethany Doolin.
Well, and as I said, we're talking about FreeNode, and in front of me with Grant and Bethany, they have both their laptops open, logged into FreeNode. I, however, have forsaken FreeNode for this discussion because I am dedicating my device for a other activity.
We appreciate your sacrifice, Ian.
Yes. I like to say that I am with FreeNode in spirit, so you can think of me there as a lurker.
You're taking one for the team.
Exactly. But why don't we start off with what is FreeNode? I mean, we just said FreeNode, but what is it?
Well, I asked that question today to Grant, and I didn't even realize that I had used FreeNode before. I had just called it IRC. So I think Grant is the one to go into more detail about that.
So FreeNode is an IRC network. So it's a set of servers that people all around the world contribute to. Some people we know, actually, also contribute to keeping the things running well. The channels on FreeNode are generally focused on open source projects and open source friendly kind of projects. DVLUG created a channel on there. It hasn't been used very much, but we hope to change that. It's another way to contribute and have discussions on the internet. Group chat is one of the oldest forms of group chat. It was created in 1988, and it's been used for a lot of gaming and a lot of collaboration on the internet for people working on different projects. So yeah, FreeNode is the sort of the open source one. There are other IRC networks, for example, QuakeNet and other ones, EFNet, that talk about other topics, but FreeNode is the IRC network that's really focused on open source. So if you want to talk about Apache or Linux or Ubuntu or Fedora or Firefox, there are IRC networks out there, and oftentimes FreeNode is the place to be to talk about those things.
So, well, let's kind of start off with the idea. I mean, why would I want to, we have these discussions within FreeNode, as you just described, but why would we want to use them? People might argue that there are better collaboration tools out there, especially web-based ones, where, again, because people listening to this podcast, FreeNode, you know, and an IRC chat is all text-based, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. Yep.
So people are asking, why do I just want to type the whole time? How about I can have a web share? You know, I share my screen and we can collaborate that way. But what's the advantage to the chat mechanism?
I think one of the advantages is that it's an old technology in relative terms. It was created in 1988. Therefore, there are a lot of different software that can communicate with this IRC protocol together. It is sort of a lowest common denominator and an example of a communications method when there weren't ISDN lines and DSL lines and cable modems, when people were using actual modems that beeped into your phone for your internet connection. Some people still do, but it's much more rare these days, at least here in the United States and California.
So with that, you're saying you don't need a broadband connection per se to access the FreeNode?
Definitely not, because it's text-based, it's very low bandwidth, very efficient use, and everybody can participate all throughout the world because it's a very efficient protocol. So you can get onto IRC through a web-based client. Some people have done that. We've set that up for Partimus and for Dreamfish. We set that up so that you can, instead of installing software on your computer, you can use a web page to get on there. Which is kind of a bridge between the two worlds of, you know, the web and IRC.
And you just mentioned Dreamfish, which was a project you worked on about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Could you describe, I don't want you to describe Dreamfish itself, but how did you use FreeNode within Dreamfish? What did you do with it?
Yeah, we were using FreeNode, and we were collaborating on the software and the website that we were building. with people all over the world. We had people in the United States, we had people in Nairobi, Kenya, where I was, and we had people in other parts of Kenya also logging into IRC. And so if you can type and collaborate and look at code interactively, it's a real-time protocol, so it's just like an instant message, right? But it's sent to a group of friends, although everybody can see it, so everybody can type in and participate in the conversation.
Now, Bethany, what was your expectations when you heard about Freenode and the chat mechanism? Did you, were you thinking that it was completely different from what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't know what Freenode was. So I, when I asked Grant and he tied it to something that I had used before, it started to click in my head. I mean, I used it for more entertainment purposes. But still, all around the world, talking to Duran Duran fans, talking to people in London. You know, it is the lowest common denominator. It's easy to talk to people over, you know, several days. So there is a lot of different uses.
It's a communication medium,
it's
and
a
you
communication
can
medium.
Use it for what you will.
Use it for what you will. And so, you know, one of the things that I think we came up with was, I was curious about who was using it and for what purposes, and I think gaming was one of the things we were talking about.
Yep.
With people. And I also asked, and we didn't really go into great detail about this, was some similar programs that were comparable. I think we talked a little bit about that, why this over some similar programs.
Like what? Like AOL Instant Messenger and ICQ and some other chat-type internet protocols?
Yeah, but just, something that people have been using. Could you sort of explain some of the differences?
A lot of them have to do with the way that they're run and the security of the systems, and they're all kind of similar, though. They all allow group chat. It's a pretty basic thing. Most of them are text-based. Not a lot of them have graphics or like little smiley faces. Sometimes they do. For example, the client you're using, Pigeon, has some smiley faces that you can see, but that are sent over the network as text. So if you do one of those and click enter, and then it comes up on mine, if the internet connection here is working very well, it'll come up as just a text-based smiley, not as a little graphical smiley. So on top of this lowest common denominator protocol, some enhancements and features have been added to make it look a little more modern, a little more graphical, a little more interactive.
Like when one of the things that was new to me was when you type in someone's name, it could make a beat or let them know in some way.
Right. When you type somebody's IRC nickname or handle, it does what's called a highlight. And so it'll beep, or depending on how the software is, how your personal client is configured, it'll either beep or highlight or change the color of the person saying your name.
So there's a whole bunch of tools that are built in now. So it's evolved from its beginnings, certainly.
Definitely.
Now, with regards to Freenode, you said that it's an IRC network, and there are multiple IRC networks, and this one is designed more around the open source community and sharing. So who supports this network?
It's a 501c3 nonprofit, I believe, incorporated in the state of Texas. The website would be the place to look for that. The URL is freenode.net, and then it has details on how to connect and how to work with the network, how to register your nickname. If you use Freenode frequently, you want to make sure nobody uses your name, your identity. So there's a capability of doing that, registering your nickname. When you have a channel, you don't want other people using your channel for other purposes, so you can register your channel. So there's a lot of services like that, but fundamentally it's a nonprofit that people donate for, and they run their servers off of a lot of donations from internet service providers and people with bandwidth and servers, and that's how they keep things running, and a lot of volunteers.
So now, with regards to when you were talking about earlier about security and issues like behind other clients, what did you mean by that, by with regards to security? Is this a more secure means of communication, or is it more open? I mean, it's group. I mean, can anybody join? I mean,
I mean, there's some potential here for potential abuse or right. things like that. So how is this type of thing moderated?
Every IRC network has their own way of dealing with people that want to cause problems, whether it be just calling people names in channels where you might have to remove them from a channel, but stealing channels, stealing nicknames, using them for purposes other than what they were intended, putting lots of garbage in a channel. All of these things potentially can cause problems for people, and therefore you need somebody looking after that. The protocol itself doesn't handle that. It's the organization that is running the IRC network that handles all that, in this case Freenode. So the volunteers there handle requests and problems and troubleshooting when it comes up. There's a procedure for asking for help from the network admins or the Freenode admins. And they're all volunteers, but they do have people all over the world because it's a real-time protocol. They have somebody awake all the time so that they can handle issues as they arise. People don't sleep. The sun never sleeps, yeah. obviously, but people do. So you have to have people on different parts of the globe to be able to handle whatever comes up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What's morning here is evening in another location, or the middle of the night in another location. So.
And Bethany, Grant was talking about people could potentially abuse it, spamming or throwing junk in a conversation. And you said you had been part of an IRC chat in the past, not on Freenode, but somewhere else. What was the environment like there? Was it mostly people who were wanting
community?
Community?
Yeah. So it's a different community, but still, there's a certain level of trust when you have a community. So I think anything like that, whether it's a gaming community, a tech community, or in my case, a Duran community, there's a certain level of trust that builds over time. So I think that's part of it. Does that sort of answer your question?
Yes. I want to kind of know is what would you use this mechanism for? Do you just use it to be a part of one community versus the other? Do you try to start something up, like a conversation, if you have a question?
Well, that's a good, because I'm using it actually right now, and we just downloaded it. We're using Pigeon.
And Pigeon is not an IRC, it's not Freenode, but what is Pigeon, so we can be clear?
Pigeon is an IRC client piece of software that runs on your local machine that allows you to communicate with IRC on the different channels and networks. So it's a piece of software that runs on your machine. It's cross-platform, so it runs on Mac, Linux, and Windows. And it allows a few extra features compared to some of the older text-based clients, like the one I'm using, IRSSI. People that like text and use it for different purposes. For example, without having the graphical portion, you can keep it in a screen or a TMUX session and connect and disconnect from it without having it disconnect and connect and disconnect from the IRC network. So you can it appears like you're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when you're not. So that's one advantage of using a text-based client versus a graphical client. Otherwise, you have to use something called a proxy, and then it gets kind of complicated. But essentially, you have to have some kind of software that allows, or web page that allows you to connect to the IRC network and communicate. And Pigeon is a really good way to start out with IRC.
And one of our DVLUG members isn't here tonight. So right now, he's logged on with us.
And he's chatting away right now?
He is not chatting away as much as I like him to, but he's not that much of a chatter anyways. So, he's in keeping with his personality. But just the fact that this allows him to be present with us, it's like he's here, and it can be that way with any meeting.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about IRC, I think, is because it's a real-time protocol. He's not looking at his screen right now, but his computer is logged in. So he can see at some point what we've typed, but he hasn't seen it yet. And that's why we haven't seen too much from him. He's busy doing something else. Who knows what he's doing at home or whether he's not even at home and he's somewhere else. So the real-time capability is useful, and it can be a problem depending on the level of interaction you want to have in your community. And that's why IRC isn't the only way you can communicate with people. I think still one of the most popular ways to communicate on the internet is email. The different technologies can be used to communicate in different ways.
So it's just IRC a different tool for a different job.
Yeah. IRC is real time, email is asynchronous or not real time, it's store and forward. So you send it and then whenever somebody looks at their email, then they get it. So different technologies can be used for different purposes. And the way that they're implemented determines how you want to use it.
So, Matthew, have you had an opportunity to explore what Freenode has to offer, the different channels? And what's the conversation that's going on right now?
Well, let's see.
Actually, I think the internet connection just went down here at Cafe La Scala, so I'm not having a whole lot of success. Oh, now it just came back up again. Let me see if I can get reattached. Yeah, there's not much conversation because I think the internet's having problems here.
Before we did it,
one of the disadvantages of real-time communications.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of it was a little bit me getting familiar with it, some of the new things with this technology that I'm not using this on a daily basis, although that can change now. and Grant sort of explained to me a little bit about, you know, what goes on here, even down to some of the action words.
Now, what is an action word?
Like Rambo thinks.
So, one of the small little features in there is it's, when you look at IRC, it says usually the time, the person's name, and then their message, and that's it. It's pretty simple technology. One of the things you can do is you can say /ME, meaning I'm doing some kind of action, and then your message. So it's a little way of trying to simulate the real world without in text, without actually having real world, you know, visual sight of somebody. You using this to describe the actions that you're doing.
And this particular command is this
/ME.
Yeah, /ME. Is this universal through IRC protocol, or
yes,
is this something that Freenode has implemented?
No, this is universal in IRC.
Now, could somebody like Freenode or some other IRC network host their own commands and put in root script?
Yes, they do. The software that they use on their servers is customized. I think they just did a transition to a new piece of software about a year ago, IRCD or something. I forget the details. Freenode.net has all the details. But their IRC daemon, the one that runs the servers, has different capabilities in it. If you want to add capabilities yourself, you can run a little piece of software called a robot or a bot that can interactively respond to text messages in the channel as well. So it's a, you know, a minusculely simple form of artificial intelligence in a communication method that's text-based and very simple. But still, it's a little bit of AI. So you can add software and capabilities into the network itself, or you can add the software and capabilities into software that simulates a human being and interacts and responds.
And because you mentioned bot there, I think, you know, some people have the impression, oh, a bot, it's an evil thing, because they just hear on the news, oh, a bot is spamming or attacking, something like that.
Robots are evil, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the general impression. Yeah.
But again, it could be used as a tool such that if there's a, for example, you're part of a community and there's just one question that just gets asked all the time.
Frequently asked questions, yes.
You can have a bot that will automatically respond, so if you're not there or if you don't want to type it out all the time.
Exactly. These little programs can provide useful functions. They can announce when code has changed in a code repository. They can do Google searches for you and show you the results in the channel so that if you're discussing something, you can actually all participate in that kind of discussion. They can announce when people would come in. They can greet people when they join the channel for the first time. There's all kinds of little features. One of the most interesting IRC robot pieces of software out there, I think, is called the Super Python Bot, SupyBot, SupyBot.org, I think it is. And you can write plugins to that to do new features. I've written actually about 10 plugins to SupyBot. And I think IRC is kind of a perhaps overlooked at this point because the technology is kind of old, but it really is kind of a command line to the internet if you know how to use it and if you can control some additional capabilities through a robot or something else. It's really kind of an interesting command line, text-based way to interact with the internet, especially in channels that use bots
now,
effectively.
Just out of curiosity, as I'm looking at this, if I want to join a conversation, do I have to know that conversation before I type in to join it? Or is there a way to look at topics or,
good
or
question.
To find something?
Generally, when you go to IRC, you're going to know which network you want to connect to, and you're going to know which channel within that network you want to connect to. So for us, it's Freenode, and our channel is #DVLUG. That's it, just DVLUG. There's no org on it, not like our website. It's just #DVLUG. And so you connect, and then you talk with us in our channel. So you generally are going to know how to connect. If you want to do searches, there are different capabilities to do that, but generally, you need to know where to go. Using Google to find out where there are IRC channels is a really good way to do it, or your favorite search engine. Good question.
It's very interesting stuff. I mean, a lot of people, I don't think, really can appreciate that this is such an old technology, but there's actually quite a use of it, you know, back when it was first invented to even now. And as you said, it could be used for video game chats. In fact, they can have the IRC within the video game client itself.
Like the Steam client does that these days.
Yeah. So rather than hosting some other protocol and doing something else, they just use existing and then just augment it with, you know, nice graphics and
software. Yeah, I don't know if Steam has actually implemented their own protocols or if they're actually using IRC on the back end. But, you know, if it's just text-based chat, it's just text-based chat.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need.
And as you said, low barrier to entry. You don't need that much of a connection. In fact, you could probably do it almost, you could do it on dial-up.
Definitely.
In fact, you know, since it's text-based.
Yep. So. For those that actually had modems back then and could read the speed of the modem, this goes, you know, as long as you can have a fast enough connection to go faster than you can read, you're okay. Which every connection these days can do.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
So when the giant robots come to enslave us all, we can at least chat through this as a mechanism of last resort.
And they can listen in more easily on us.
Well, with that, I want to thank our listeners. It's been a great conversation here at DVLUG. Again, I'm Ian Lynn.
Grant Bowman.
I'm Bethany Dolan.
We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.